because we want to be a blessing to this man of God that's with us today. The Lord's sending him all over the country. He ministers a lot in Africa as well. He's been my very close brother and friend, kind of brother from another mother, a very dear friend for 20-plus years now. And we've traveled together, had fun together, fellowshiped together, cried together, and so forth. So he's a special blessing in my life. And I want to ask you, church family, would you join with me as we welcome Bishop Kyle Searcy? He is also... He is also one of the apostolic overseers of this house who serves on our executive board of elders here. And we love you. You want the clicker? Yes. Yeah, they can click for you back there.
You know, he forgot to mention I'm the more handsome brother from another mother. In fact, I was actually thinking in the back when I went to get ready for service that there's a secret that's been in this church for some time, and I'm going to go ahead and reveal it publicly. And that's the fact that I know that you guys love Mickey way more than you do Eddie. I felt it in the back. Aren't they both amazing? Give God a hand for both of them, would you? That hand wasn't enough for me. Give God another hand. Your leaders are amazing. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, honor is biblical. It really is. And it's a shield. It does something when you properly honor people. And they deserve honor. They are really amazing people. And God really loves them. Love Doc Shell. I just love this guy. I just went up and told him, I'm going to be like you when I grow up. Such an amazing man. He's got that smooth anointing like a cup of caramel macchiato. Just, you know. I just love them. Love Florence, Alabama, and love what you guys are doing here in Grace House. And every time I come, there's more in my heart than I'm able to download. So I brought a couple of books for you. One of the latest books I just wrote, I love it. It's a 45-day devotional. It's called The 7 Levels of Intimacy with God. And there are 7 progressive levels of intimacy, and God gives us paradigms in the Word so we can see what those are. And it starts from being a servant to a steward, then a steward to a child to a son or daughter to the bride, and the bride to a habitation. And those are levels we can go in God. And I was on an airplane, and God just downloaded the message to me, and it was so profound and powerful, and it so wrecked the place that I went to. I said, I've got to write something to help us progress through these levels. So God really wanted you to have this. I grabbed a case on the way out the door, and I thought it was another book, Leadership Legacy. It ended up being this one. I felt that was prophetic. So that'll be a great blessing to you. A couple of other things. I wrote a men's mentoring book. Men need men. How many of you know that? Iron sharpens iron. We need men. And for a while I was saying, men mentor other men. But I said, let me just put something in your hand. And there, I don't know, 12, 15, 18, 20 lessons. I forget how many in here. You can just actually get a group of men around or do a Zoom meeting and just begin to mentor them with these lessons. It's really powerful. Book on counterintuitive leadership. It's a powerful book about leadership, one of the passions of my heart. And then the story of how God divinely brought my wife and I together. It kind of reads like a novel, but it's a real supernatural story as to how God gave me this beautiful lady from Ghana, West Africa, who is amazing and who greets you right now, could not be with us today. Are you ready for the Word of God? How many of you were here this weekend with Dutch and Chuck? Let me see your hand if you were here this weekend. Good. Powerful weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, you ready for more? Yeah, the thing that happens to me every time I come here is Florence, Alabama is such a blessed place, but I hardly get any sleep here because you guys are amazing, and I wanted to do my best to preach a profound, hermeneutical, philosophical, spirit-filled, fire-baptized, God-endowed message from the Lord. Hey, James, how are you? I didn't see you sitting there. Love James. I love his artwork. He's an amazing guy. So I stayed up like most anointed men and women of God to 12:30 a.m., preparing a message that was hermeneutical, philosophical, you know, all that, only to go to sleep and wake up 4:30 in the morning with a new message downloaded in my spirit for Grace House. Grace. Go figure. So I believe this is the word of the Lord, and I just want to deliver it to you in Greek. So are you ready? No. Now, let's pray. Why don't you pray? Say, Lord, speak to me. Let the word of God come alive. I want to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Let me pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for this house. Thank you for the grace, the mercy, and the favor that's on this house. Lord, I yield to you. I ask that you use me. Let this be anointed. Put your spirit on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 84:11. The verses will come on the screen. Psalm 84:11. We're going to talk about from grace to glory. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Is that able to come up? You want me to click? Okay, there we go. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give what? Grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Let's read that again with real faith. Ready? Read. For the Lord God. I believe three is the charm. One more time. Ready? Read. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For a divine reason, when your pastor was starting this ministry, he decided to name it Grace House. And that's a beautiful name because grace is awesome. That's the only other lady my wife lets me mess with. I don't mess with a lady named Grace. The spiritual thing called grace, okay? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Not only are we saved by grace, the unmerited favor of God, but it's way more than that. Grace is empowerment. Your pastor's about to start a series on that. But, man, without grace, we're nothing. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And everything we need is by grace. The Bible has concluded everybody in sin, everybody messed up, everybody unable. So grace is what enables us. So grace is abundant, and it's amazing. And this house has had a measure of grace on it, a tremendous measure of grace on it. But I have a clear word in my heart that you're moving from grace to glory. And glory does not exclude grace. That doesn't mean you don't need grace. You can't get glory without grace. So you start with glory, and then grace gets superimposed on top of glory. So let's talk about glory for a minute. What is glory? Glory comes from a word in Hebrew called kabod, and kabed is the root word it came from. And it literally means honor, means glorious, it means abundance, riches, splendor, glory. Some translations and some definitions talk about weight. But glory is really an interesting thing. So there are three manifestations of God, are three various ways that God allows himself to be manifest in the earth. And the first way is by faith. We often underestimate faith. We think a lot of times people have gotten a bad taste in their mouth because of some teachers that only use faith for seemingly one dimension. But God is still a God that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I just recorded for my YouTube channel. I've got a sleep channel that is blessing a lot of people, helping them sleep at night. It's called Midnight Prayer Retreat. And one of the things I decided to do is just record 150 verses on faith. And I just read through them like 2 days ago. And reading through 150 scriptures out loud on faith, I was like, God, you really do require faith. Many things in the Bible Jesus would do, he would do it according to their, yeah, be it unto you according to your faith. You know, your faith has made you whole. The woman with the issue of blood would come up to him and grab the hem of his garment, and virtue went out of him. He didn't even know. He wasn't aware that something was pulled from him. Her faith pulled it from her. And he looked at her and said, "Woman, be made whole of your plague," whatever it is. Jesus went to his hometown, and he could not do many mighty miracles there because they had unbelief. He came loaded with power, packed it up, and went back home because they had unbelief. Faith is very important in the release and the dimension of God. And we don't need to misunderstand that. Sometimes God did things without faith. He would see the woman whose son died, and he's walking there, and a funeral comes by him. And the Bible said he had compassion on her. Nobody prayed. Nobody had faith, but he touched the coffin and raised the son from the dead. But that's the minimum number of scriptures in the Bible. The majority of them, he sees four guys who climb up on a roof, take the tiles out, lift down their friend in front of Jesus, and he said, seeing their faith, he'll heal the guy. God wants some faith. So just say, I'll believe. I'm just going to believe and not doubt. We need to be believers and not doubters. So faith is one manifestation, but that's usually thinking, speaking, or being. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that is where we, in a sense, use faith as a key to unlock and open the windows of heaven. It's a dimension where we have a part to play in how much of God gets manifest based on how much we believe or don't believe. But then there's the anointing. I love the anointing. The Bible uses two different pictures with the anointing, smearing or rubbing on. In the Old Testament, the anointing would come upon Samson, and he would do the amazing things he did. It would come upon David. It was the outward symbol of the prophet pouring oil on their head, and the Holy Spirit would rest on you. In the New Testament, he's in us, and we see him manifest through us. When we see the Apostle Peter, and his shadow heals the sick, it's not like the light reflecting off of us and the shadow there and lay them here. It's not that. The word in the Greek is outshining. As he walked by, something shined out of him and touched him. That was the Holy Spirit and the anointing within us. Now, I love the anointing. I love the gifting of God. I love our ability to take what God has given us and manifest it toward others. Let me blow your mind for a minute. Do you know you can transfer God? Oh, yeah. You ever laid hands on somebody? Yeah, and prayed over them, and what was in you or on you got transferred to them. But that's still a manifestation whereby we are stewards of what God gives and releases, whether it's faith, whether it's anointing. But there's a third dimension of the manifestation of God, and that's the glory. While faith is thinking, speaking, activating, anointing, that's a Holy Spirit dimension where he does it. But there's a glory dimension that's God-based and God-dependent. So let's talk about the glory for a minute. Let's talk about this realm that I feel like God's inviting you to. We had a powerful weekend, but not only a powerful weekend, we've had powerful years. So let me walk you on a trail for just a minute. Chuck and Dutch started coming to Alabama, oh, I guess 2007, 5, 6, 7, 8, 2002. What's that now? 2003, 2004. They started coming to Alabama. And since they've been coming, there have been progressive words they've been releasing over this state that have been incredible and amazing. A summary of those words is the fact that Alabama, being a forerunner state, would be among the first. When Chuck got caught up in 2008, he saw the nation, and he saw Alabama having more glory than any other state. Well, listen, since favor ain't fair, we can go ahead and clap about that. Sorry, Mississippi. We love you, Tennessee. Florida, you might win some football games, but Alabama's got the glory. Glory to God. It's all by grace, but we're just going to celebrate it. And he saw that the glory coming from Alabama touches the rest of the nation, and he began to see all these major glory words and glory revelations. And many times he was in our church and here, he's preaching about these 10 freedom outposts in Alabama, and no other state had that many. And it's always been just favorable about Alabama. And back in those days, Nick Saban was still around, so the football team was winning everything. And now we got to pray. But anyway, everybody say, God, touch the board. No. Let's stay focused. So all these great words that were released over Alabama, but Alabama would be the first in the glory, the first in that level of glory, the first in that level of manifestation, the highest level of glory. And all of these words consistently, not just by them, by other prophetic voices. And then Chuck comes here, I think in March, and he sees an angel standing out on a piece of land that obviously is on this side of the church because everybody who talks about it points this way. And he says, the Lord told him that was the first of the angels of glory that were being released for the nation for that which he's been prophesying for almost 20 years. The first. And it was here, on this land, in Florence, Alabama. Pastor Eddie, when he first bought this land, after he bought the land when it was still red dirt, has a dream or a vision. Vision. And in a vision, he saw an angel standing in the exact place of where Chuck saw the angel. And the angel had a drawn sword in his hand, had a harp, but it was in the exact location of what Chuck saw when God told Chuck, this is the first of the angels of the realm of glory that I'm bringing to this nation that I'm releasing, and it's right here in Florence, Alabama. Somebody say wow backwards. So there's some major invitations here. Alabama, first state, forerunner state, thicket clear, bless the entire nation. Now Chuck is saying that he feels more glory already manifest in Alabama than most other places. And then one of the first angels of glory was released. When Chuck saw it, the sword was not drawn, which means that there's still yet manifestations to come. So I prepared my amazing philosophical, hermeneutical, blessed message last night that I spent hours preparing, and woke up this morning and heard the Lord say, there is a level of the manifestation of glory that is coming that none of us have seen yet. There are beginnings of it. But that this house has an invitation to be one of the places that is the first house to enter into that realm and level of the fullness of glory. It's an invitation that's released on this house for many different reasons. You need to be aware of it. You need to know it. Your heart needs to be open and you need to understand it. So let me walk through with this realm of glory just a little bit as to what this realm of glory is about. Glory is God's realm. It's not our realm. Faith is our realm. Anointing is our realm. Glory is God's realm. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, it says this, and he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Listen to the answer to the cry for glory. Moses says, God, show me your glory. And God makes four statements, and none of them have anything to do with us. First of all, God said, I will. I will. Glory is his, not ours. We don't manipulate it. We don't manifest it. We don't mandate it. The glory is God's. Number two, I'll make all my goodness. The glory is the manifestation of the fullness of who he is. When God manifests glory, it's all of his goodness being manifest. It's the fullness and the persona of who he is. Then he says this, I will proclaim my own name. Oh, my God. God. See, it's anointed when Pastor Eddie proclaims his name. May have a little anointing on it when I proclaim his name. It may be anointed when Dutch proclaims his name, but you've never seen anything like when God proclaims his own name. When God comes and proclaims his own name, and that's what happened, that's the cry for glory. The answer to that is God said, I thank you for the anointing on your life and thank you for the faith and all those dimensions. I'm going to come and proclaim my own name now. I'm going to superimpose my atmosphere on the earth right now, and I'm bringing what I dwell in heaven and superimposing it where you are, and you're not going to have to proclaim my name because I will proclaim my own name. I will declare my own name, and everybody will know who I am, not out of your mouth, but out of my reality. That's the answer to the cry for glory. Then God said, I'll be gracious on whom I'll be gracious on. In other words, it's not even sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. It's not what you do, you'll reap. God said, in my glory, I do what I want to do. So if I want to be gracious to you, I'll be gracious to you. And if I don't want to be gracious, I won't. And if I want to visit iniquity, I'm going to do that because in the glory, I do what I want to do. That's the manifestation of glory that is coming. And it's a realm of God. Number two, glory is a timeless dimension. Glory is timeless. See, time is one of the things that bind us the most. It's one of the things that we are troubled by. It's one of the things that causes consternation. We're running out of time. You know, you're 40 and not married, running out of time, or you're 75 or whatever, running out of time, and, you know, always at the end of the day, running out of time. And time is something that commands us, but time is something that existed in God before he made the earth. Time came out of him. And the dimension of God is a timeless dimension. It says in John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory I had before the world was. So when we talk of glory, glory is a pre-creation reality. It's so time is nothing in the glory. That's why in the glory, God can begin to restore and rebuild and fix what time has messed up. See, in the glory, you know, we have consternation over the past because we can't change it, but it can change in glory. All the effects of the past can change in glory and be retrofitted to the moment because it's a timeless dimension. I want you to hear this. Glory can wipe away years of regret in a moment of time. All you have to ask yourself is, does anybody have regret in heaven? No, you're not in heaven in the glory of God with regrets. And when that dimension touches the earth, it changes that because it's a timeless dimension. Not only that, it's a spaceless dimension. I love creation. I don't know what's happening to me as I'm getting older. I'm getting nostalgic or soft or something. Because I'm like praising God over crazy stuff like ants and beetles like creation. I'm serious. Creation is moving me. I must be looking at James's stuff too much or something. Creation is moving me. I'm just like, God, you didn't have to do that. Look how ugly a beetle is. It's so amazing. You know, and these little things just begin to touch me. But as I think about creation and dig back into the depths of it, to my little understanding, we used to think that atoms were the smallest particles of man. We now know they're not. Scientists are telling us, and quantum physics has delved deeper than the atom, and they found these things called quarks and leptons. What are they? They're little vibrating packets of energy that have frequency. And it's light, but it has frequency. But they're a trip. These little things don't obey the natural laws of our universe. In fact, they found out they're non-local. They've observed this by double helix experiments. They're non-local, which means they're everywhere at once, which means they kind of don't exist, but they do. And they only manifest as a particle when they interact with a human being. This is true. Look it up. When they interact with a human being, they become a particle as if creation is saying, oh, you're made in the image of God. What do you want me to become? Oh, God, we have power on this earth. That's why the Bible says you can decree a thing and it shall be established. Whatever you believe, whatever you want, believe in your heart and speak. And do, that's why Jesus can speak to trees and they can dry up from the roots. Because there is an authority and a power. And once we understand that authority and power, the universe itself, I believe, is created to respond. Doesn't the Bible say that the creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the sons of God to rise up and manifest and cause to happen what needs to happen? So these quarks and leptons, the reason why they're so interesting is because scientists tell us in the beginning of creation, there were at least 11 dimensions of physical reality present. 11 dimensions. We have three, length, width, and height. But there were 11 present. There were 11 dimensions present. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But in a nano of a second, they got shrunk down to 3. But the other manifestations, the other levels, the other dimensions still exist. They're just coiled. But they're there. We can't access them, but they're there. And I wonder if in some of that we're looking at the spirit realm. Or we're looking at properties that don't act right in our physical realm. So when we talk about glory, we talk about superimposing a dimension upon us that is not bound by the three dimensions that we have, so it's timeless and spaceless. So in the glory, you can easily speak something, and it can manifest in Brazil. Ezekiel shows us that when the glory manifests in the book of Ezekiel, we see the wheels in the middle of the wheels, and they're doing things that defy the properties of our territory because it's in the realm of glory. In the realm of glory, let me put it this way, what's impossible becomes possible instantly because the properties in glory are totally different. Say, I want glory. Glory covers your shame. Glory covers your shame. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when God made them at first? They were naked, and they had no shame. Then they sinned, and that covering of glory came off of them and they had shame. You don't need shame in the glory. When you're in the glory, it's all about him. The focus is on him. It's not about your shame or anything that you regret. That is the dimension of glory. And I'm telling you, God wants to release the fullness of his glory in this church as a first fruits. Let me tell you this. Glory transforms. It does what? Matthew 17. Verse number 1, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart. It was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garment was white as light. Now, Clorox can't even do that. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Glory transforms. Chuck Pierce prophesied. One of the first times he talked about the glory coming to Alabama, he said he saw in a vision people coming into that level of glory and leaving out, and their entire cellular structure had changed generationally. He said some people were 7 shades lighter when they walked out. In other words, there was an instantaneous transformation in the glory. Moses experienced that, caught up in the glory of God, came back, and he didn't know his face was shining. I want to tell you, it wasn't only his face shining. He had clothes on the rest of his body. Everything was shining. And there are different ways to shine other than Vaseline. Get into glory and something will happen that will transform your reality. But understand this. See, if you meet somebody in Walmart and they've been frying chicken, you know. How do you know? You just look at him. You having chicken for dinner? Yeah, how did you know? I just knew. Because you walk out of the atmosphere carrying what was in the atmosphere. Crisco and fried chicken. If you're in the glory, what do you walk out carrying? You walk out carrying that manifestation of heaven, and you take it wherever you go. That's the glory, and it transforms who we are. It transforms what we are. It transforms what we're about. For years, I've seen a vision recurring over and over again. I've seen it in different ways and different manifestations where there'll be a service similar to what's happening here or in worship. And all of a sudden, something changes. But what changes is not something the preacher says, not something the worship leader says. What changes is in some way Jesus comes in. I've seen it one time where the doors open and he just walked in. Other times his presence came in. The result was always the same. In one part of this vision, I saw Jesus walking in slowly. And the minute he got near the back door, everybody just hit the deck. They didn't see him, some people, but the presence, the manifestation, the atmosphere became so pregnant. They just went down on their faces. And Jesus walked up to the front of the church and slowly looked from the left to the right. And then turned around and walked back out. And the doors closed. 5 or 10 minutes later, people start slowly getting up. But they found out that when they got up, every issue they had was solved. Sicknesses were healed. Demons were cast out, relationships were restored, answers were granted. Every single thing they needed was granted because the glory transforms. It's a realm that man can't have, man can't manipulate, but it's a realm God wants to bring in. There's an invitation on Grace House to be among the first that enters that level of glory. Now, glory is already here. I was telling the early service, I came in a little bit late in the early service, and I went straight to the office first, and I heard the worship, and I said, oh, Pastor Eddie plays tracks in the morning service. They don't have live worship because it sounded so good and so perfect. And there was such a presence. And I said, man, the tracks are doing real well. Then I walked in here and it was real peoples. And I stood there for a minute. It was transfixed to a place. How many of you know glory is here? Glory is here, but it's the beginning. It's mercy drops. It's just a little touch. And even now, every time you come, you leave different. And God is blessing and touching. But I'm telling you, beloved, there are dimensions beyond what we have here that many have not seen. And there is an invitation for this house to be the first to enter the fullness. That's not a proud thing. That's not even a favor thing. It's a reality. But God wants you to understand it and know it. Because the earth must see that level of glory. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. How? Because when it manifests anywhere, it will go everywhere. And somebody's got to press into that. The glory preserves. It preserves. Exodus chapter 40, the cloud covered the tent of tabernacle when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they weren't able to enter in. You ever wondered why the children of Israel in the wilderness had clothes that never wore out in 40 years? And sandals that didn't go old in 40 years. I mean, come on, somebody was, you know, I mean, you're going to get a hole in your jeans somehow. But 40 years of preservation, why? Because they had glory, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Glory absolutely preserved them. I think that's what happened to Sarah. I think when God looked at Sarah, a 90-year-old woman whose minnow hit pause a long time ago, the Bible said, that's so silly. The Bible said her womb was dead. That's the description the word gives. But God kept saying it's going to happen. And they're like, dude, it's physically impossible. It's not going to happen. And whatever touched her so impacted her, because as I read the Bible chronologically, I saw after she had the baby that Abraham was still traveling with her and people were saying, who's that? Is that your sister or is that your wife? I believe when the glory touched her, it rolled back time. See, glory might make you 40 again. Oh, Lord. I might get an afro, Eddie. It might. I could see it. I can get my hair back. What are you feeling? You with me? You know, Paul Cain, great prophet, his mother got pregnant with him at an older age. She was close to 40, and she had this dreadful cancer. She was dying. And either she was close to dying or she did die. I can't remember the story, but an angel visited her and said, you're not going to die. You're going to live, and you're going to have a son. His name is going to be called Paul. He's going to be a great man of God and so forth and so on. And the angel touched her. And that glory that touched her caused her the rest of her life, according to him. And I heard him tell this story when she was still alive. She was never sick the rest of her life. And she lived to 120 years old. And he would always say that glory is what did that to her during that visitation. And when she did die, it's because she was ready to go, not because she had to go. Glory preserves. Man, cheaper than Botox. Come on, glory. I need you. Glory protects. Isaiah 58:8. Then your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. The glory of the Lord is what will protect you. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, will be glory in the midst of her. Glory protects. Glory, when you're in the realm of glory, you don't have any battles to fight. God fights all of your battles. Psalm 24, 7 bears that out perfectly. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall do what? Come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So here's the question. Who is the King of glory? Oh, let me tell you who he is, the Lord of hosts. The one who fights. The one who kicks. The one who fights. The one who wins. The one who overcomes. He is the King of glory. It kind of reminds me of the eagle. The eagle is made in a unique way by God. And the Bible likens Christians to an eagle. Eagles have two eyelids, not one. They have two eyelids. They have one that's like ours. You close it, you can't see anything. But the other one is like Ray-Ban. It's like sunglasses. Why would God give the eagle two eyelids? Well, there are not many birds that will chase the eagle, but there is one, the condor. And a couple of them get bold sometime, but when the condor, big 7-foot wingspan, starts chasing the eagle doesn't sweat. He doesn't trip. He just looks for the sun, closes the inner eyelid, flies directly toward the sun. The condor can't roll that way. He peels off while the eagle keeps going higher and higher. Because if you're going to clap, do it better than that. You're going to clap well. And that's what the glory reminds me of. I don't care what battle you carry into the glory will deal with it. Satan is not following you into the glory. Demons are not following you into the glory. Problems will die in the midst of the glory. They'll dry up and become nothing in the midst of the glory. See, if the glory is the realm of heaven superimposed on earth, all you have to ask yourself is anybody in heaven stressed? Anybody in heaven taking Valium? Anybody in heaven need Jack Daniels to calm down? Anybody in, no. Is there sickness in heaven? So that realm of heaven superimposes on earth, and it's the fullness of what earth can contain, and that is the realm of glory God wants to begin to bring. And I'm telling you, not only does it protect, but God fights your battles in the midst of the glory. Number 9, glory brings resources. It brings resources. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And what does he say next? Huh? Say it again. The 401k is mine. I'm sorry, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about that because that's not spiritual. That's fine. Just pray that all of it comes to me and Pastor Eddie because we got big vision. But when the glory comes, resources come. Wealth comes. I have one preacher friend of mine. He's one of those kind of profound, deep, reverend bishop pastors. And he talks kind of like that. And he came to me. He said, Bishop Kyle? I said, yes. He said, I will go broke 3 days after heaven does. Took me a minute, just like it's taking you a minute. Then I thought about it. I said, that's right. Heaven isn't broke. And if heaven is not broke, we ought not be broke either. But when the glory comes, it brings resources. The vision becomes easy. Philippians 4:9 says, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Comes with sustenance. It just comes together. So God's given you a major invitation. Did I mention to you that God woke me up and gave me a new message? I thought I did. This morning, early, I did. What's the word? This house, in all sobriety, has an invitation to be the first to enter into the mature fullness of glory that God's releasing in this dimension. That is not hearsay. That is not to tickle your ears. That is thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something about this house, and I've seen, the Lord showed me something about your pastor yesterday, and I've known him for 20 years, like we're talking about. And I just saw his heart in a new way, and I saw how God loves his heart in a new way yesterday. And I saw this house. It reminds me of a time a prophet came to our church in Montgomery, and he saw the face of Jesus watermarked on the back wall, just being drawn. And he said, God, what does that mean? He said, tell them that there's nothing that happens here that makes me turn my face away. And as a result of that, I'm coming, and I'm coming in a greater way. We've been having manifestations of glory in Montgomery, just incredible. Literally, almost every Sunday, we have to strive to preach the word. The glory is so thick. A couple of months ago, about 100 young people came and gave their life to Christ in one service, just instantly, without even pulling teeth or anything. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. Sunday after that, about 60 of them were instantly baptized in the Holy Spirit. They started throwing condoms on the altar and things that they were doing. I mean, it's incredible what's happening. Last Sunday, they couldn't even preach. The glory is so strong. But part of the reason why was because of the favor that God found on the condition and orientation of the hearts in that place. God is saying the same thing is here. The same thing is here. And you, beloved, have an invitation to enter into the fullness of glory. And see, not only the pastor needs to carry that, so I'm sharing it. You need to carry it. You need to constantly pray it, seek it, press into God for it, expect it, believe God for it. So let's talk about how to prepare for that. How do you get ready for that level of glory? Well, number one, you need hunger. You do need to desire it, and that's why I'm trying to whet your appetite for dimensions that you walk into and your cells change, for places where wealth and increase becomes automatic, where dimensions where all you've got to do is get them into the glory, whoever they are, whatever they're dealing with, just get them to the glory. Changes the economy of the place where it comes. Changes the agriculture of where it comes. I mean, everything shifts into glory. And God's inviting you into that. So what does it take? Number one, hunger, desire. Get this. Moses had a connection with God unlike most people. The Bible said he spoke to man face to face like a man speaks to a friend. God even said to somebody, listen, if I'm going to speak to a prophet, I'll speak by dreams or dark sayings, but Moses, my servant, is not so. I speak to him face to face. So the guy already had a manifestation of God unlike most people. He would go to the tabernacle and God would show up, sit down, they'd share a cappuccino together, and they would talk. I might paraphrase some of that. But they were face to face, but yet he wanted more. God, show me your glory. Lord, if I found favor, show me your glory. And God is here. And I remind you again, God is not everywhere. He is not everywhere. I heard a story about a guy who was sitting in the church and strange things were happening on stage. When he went out, he got in his car, and on the way home, he said, God, what was that? And the Lord said, I don't know, son. I've never been there. It's a true story. But he's here. And there's a level of glory here. And you feel it and you sense it. Even in the morning service, people were healed. God is here. But it's the beginning. And instead of just being totally satisfied with that, let's be grateful for what we have. Let's be hungry for the fullness. Let's be hungry for the time your wayward daughter comes to visit you and decides to go to church just because you threatened her that if she doesn't, you'll never see her again. Not that she would ever do that. And she walks into glory Sunday. And her life is never the same again because she touched the living God. That's coming. There's an invitation of it. God wants you hungry for it. Moses, You already see God face to face. What are you talking about? Show me. God said, no, there's more. God, show me your glory. I know I see you face to face, but God, I want the fullness. Grace House, that's your song. God, I thank you for every level of glory and anointing we have, but God, bring the fullness of your glory. Say it now, Lord, bring the fullness of your glory. Show me your glory. Manifest your glory. We're willing. We're ready. We're hungry. In Jesus' name. Second thing that brings glory is radical sacrifice. We talk about Solomon when he dedicated the temple. When he dedicated the temple, we know the glory came down. But what we miss sometimes is he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar before the glory came. If you just think about what kind of a sacrifice that was, if you just put it in monetary terms, it's not really about money, but put it in monetary terms. If one goat or donkey or whatever it was $80 or $100, whatever, talking about 1,000 of them, that's a huge sacrifice. So sacrifice is necessary for glory. And I believe what God's saying in that is that we need to be willing to do whatever it takes. If it makes us uncomfortable, we want the glory. We don't just want glory that fits into our program. We want the glory. You hear me? Glory can sometimes mess up church in terms of, you know, just the normal things you do. Your small group might not meet. And your potluck that you stayed up all night cooking, going to have to eat it later because glory came. And we need to be saying, God, that's okay because I want the glory. You know, whatever the sacrifice is, I want the glory. Consecration brings glory. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai. So God said to them, I'm coming. I'm going to manifest myself, but you got to consecrate. And for them, it was to wash their clothes, stay away from their wives, that outward thing. But inwardly, our hearts need to consecrate. When you're wanting glory, that's not a time to compromise. That's not a time to live any kind of life and do any kind of thing. Others may, but you cannot if you want glory. We sanctify our heart before the Lord, and we do what's right before him. And lastly, reverence and awe is what causes glory to come. King David's probably one of my favorite guys in Scripture. And when he became king, he wanted to bring the ark. And at first, he bought it the wrong way. He put it on a cart. And as they were going on the cart, Uzzah touched it when it shook a little bit, and he was killed instantly because you can't put your hand to the glory. You cannot put flesh on the glory. It's God's manifestation. It's God's realm. And David got angry and went and laid before the Lord and said, God, how can I bring the glory if you're going to start killing people? What in the world? Then he realized that he did it wrong. God told him the priests should carry it on their shoulders with staves. He got that right from the word of God. Set up the day to come back and bring the glory into Israel. And here's what the Bible said. Every 6 steps, he would sacrifice unto the Lord and they would worship him. 6 is the number of man. There's so much prophetic implication in that. Every time he got to the end of what he can do, he had to look up to God and sacrifice and say, I know it's only what you can do. Every 6 steps, he did that and began to worship God. But they had such an awe and a reverence for the glory that God said, oh, yes, you can have the glory in Israel. Grace House, desire it, reverence it, want it, hunger for it. How much better will Alabama be when there's a place that people can come from anywhere in the world and enter into the fullness of God's glory, heaven suspended on earth, not man manifesting him, which is a blessing. I'll travel to Australia for man manifesting God. I'll travel anywhere in the world for the highest levels of anointing. But for glory, I'll go to the ends of the earth. And what we need to see in this day and age is the glory of God manifest. And this house has an invitation to be among the first. It's not a race, but it's a sober invitation where God's saying, I want to do that among you. You know the eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth. God's looking for someone to show himself strong on behalf of. And when he finds it, it means everything to him. And there's an invitation that Grace House, that angel we saw, that the full manifestation of that. And I see it, beloved, even now, it's coming. I have enough faith in my heart and enough revelation to say it's coming. It's coming to Grace House in Florence, Alabama. you will see a manifestation of the fullness of his glory in the land of the living. You will. If you're going to clap, please go ahead and do it better than that. Yeah. It's coming. It's coming. Only pray it doesn't happen when I'm out of the country. Pastor Eddie and Mickey, would you stand? Because I want to be here the first night it happens. Would you mind coming up front and just turning around? I just feel like we should pray for them. They're called to steward a movement of glory as well as the other leaders. In fact, other leaders, is it okay to have other leaders if you'll just come and stand behind them? Staff and elders, okay? Staff, elders, homies, whatever. Stand behind them, if you will. Just kind of circle them, let them stand in the middle. Everybody stand if you don't mind. I never understood why people say stand to your feet because there's really no other way to stand. Stretch out your hands to this leadership, please. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. So here's what I feel, that we need grace release to enter into this realm of glory. That's how they go together. There's a grace that God wants to release so that this realm of glory becomes easy. Would you lift your voice now and pray that God would give grace to enter into this glory? Come on, lift your voice and pray, and then in a minute I'll pray. Grace for glory. Grace to enter into glory. If we can have somebody tickle the keys. Grace to enter into glory. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for this leadership. We thank you for those that you've chosen to be here and be in position. Lord, you are our sun and shield. And you're declaring to us today, you will give grace and glory, and grace for glory. We say yes and amen to that. I'm praying that you change even the thought process of the leadership, Pastor Eddie, Pastor Mickey, the way their minds process. Let them begin to think glory, sense glory, discern glory, function at the speed of glory. I pray, God, that you will often suspend them personally into realms of glory. As they're laying in the bed, I see walking in the backyard, unexpected places where you're suspended and caught up into glory, and there's a learning curve where God is going to cause you to begin to understand the functionality in the dimensions of glory in a greater way. God is releasing today grace for glory, but it's going to shift your thinking. There are going to be certain desires that are just not there anymore, certain ones that emerge, certain things that there's grace for, and certain things there's not grace for. Oh, the mission will still come to pass and all the things God wants to do, but there are going to be seasons and times where the cultivation of an atmosphere for glory will be so profound and pronounced that you will obey the Lord and you will enter into those places of glory. God, there's a sound that's coming out of the glory. The sound is going forth from this area. It's going forth in the spirit and even in the natural, because in the glory, songs will emerge. Songs will emerge. They begin to have your glory attached to them. Wherever these songs begin to go, the glory will manifest in those places. The sound will bring the glory. Lord, let it be so in Jesus' name. I thank you that one of the manifestations of the glory will be barren people who come into this atmosphere, who want to bear, will have children instantly. I thank you that there'll be a reproductive element to this glory, and you're giving grace, God, to enter into that realm now. Lord, I pray for a unity among this team like never before, a uniting of this entire congregation like never before. Lord, pour on them a hunger, a deep hunger. At times a groaning for your grace and your glory. God, I pray that nothing will stand in the way of this. Nothing will get in the way of it. Nothing will hinder it. Lord, you're speaking. You've been speaking for years, and you're speaking directly now. So, Lord, we want to see manifestation. We want to see manifestation of it in Jesus' name. So have your way, Lord. Everybody say, have your way, Lord. Do it, Lord. Manifest it, Lord. Let us see it with our own eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys can go back to your seats. What's that? Oh, you want them to stay? Sure. Okay. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that's great. So leaders, go ahead and spread out. And then somebody in here may need prayer for something, physical illness in your body, believing God for something. You want a word from the Lord and you just want clarity. Maybe just feeling down and you want to be lifted up and encouraged. Just come and join in with prayer. You know, we often misunderstand the fact that healing is a body function. You know, the elders of the church come before the elders of the church and they'll pray, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Confess your faults one to another and be healed. So healing oftentimes is a body ministry where the sheep praying for the sheep, there's healing and blessing that's released. So I certainly invite you up front to pray and get prayer on the way out of here. I want to say this just as a brother, not of any kind of authority place. It's not coming from there, but just as a brother and somebody in Alabama, I am so proud of you in Florence, Alabama, and the way you have stewarded the grace of God and the way you have set an atmosphere where God is pleased to come. I want to say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Florence. Thank you for those of you who support this ministry. God is pleased, and we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In Jesus' name. If you're coming for prayer, may you be blessed. If not, may the Lord bless you. Want me to just stand? Are you coming up? Oh, you. Okay.
Can we thank God for this word?
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you, brother. I want to remind you to pray about blessing Bishop Kyle today, too, as I shared earlier. What we've heard this weekend is so encouraging and in some ways terrifying in the sense of the fear of the Lord, because it's something very, very serious, and very joyful to think about the things that happen when the glory begins to manifest. But we need to remember why that needs to happen, the desperation of the people. Our nation needs a great awakening. And for those of you who are readers of history, a lot of what he talked about today, there were outbreaks, glory outbreaks, where God just showed up and things were shifted and things were changed. So please press in. Please pray. The Lord may lead many of us to step into fasting, positioning and preparing our heart to seize this opportunity and say yes to this invitation. So, Father, we are so grateful for what we have heard today and yesterday as well. Lord, we receive it with joy, but also fear and trembling. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you endured on the cross so that we could be the beneficiaries of the riches of your glory. You are the answer, Lord Jesus. You are the answer. Every problem, every situation, you are the answer. So Holy Spirit, have your way. May this time of ministry be blessed with your presence and your power. And I'm seeing something that I just want to say, because there's someone the Lord wants to bless. And I'm hearing the Lord say, I healed you from when you were tangled up in the barbed wire, and you watched those wounds heal. But you're all cut up on the inside, and I'm wanting to heal you today. The Lord's reminding somebody of something they got into the past that He wants to bring inner healing today in your life. So I encourage you in this time of ministry to come and make your way forward. And if somebody else prays for them, please, before they leave, have that person come and see me, because I want to share something else with them. But thank you for being here this morning. About to say the final amen. They're going to begin to worship. We'll linger up here, pray for people as long as needed. You feel free to fellowship. Feel free to bask. Feel free to leave, go enjoy a meal with your family, whatever lies before you this day. But when you do go, let your light shine. Release His love to other people. Listen for Him to speak to you. And carry with you what you've heard today. And let's press into the glory. In Jesus' name, can we give the Lord a hand? God bless you. Have a wonderful day. If you guys will lead us now, this altar's open. God bless you.